You're listening to Pod Wars with Gary and Justice.
So I turned in my 2 weeks on Friday.
Oh, congratulations, man. Congratulations on unemployment.
Yeah, you know, it feels good. I'm excited to move back home, in quotations. But yes, that's the... My boss cried.
Tears of joy or tears of sorrow?
Sorrow, because I am that great of a worker.
I mean, did you possibly steal any toothpaste-related product on your way out?
No, because they always give us toothpaste for a lot of... product on a way out anyway.
Hey guys, this is Gary and welcome to another episode of Pod Wars. I'm here with America's favorite Wookiee, Justice.
What's up, guys? I don't have a Wookiee thing. I'm not gonna try it, but
you're not gonna try it, man? You're not just gonna like
No.
That's the best I can do.
No. I'll just use Jack's growl that we always use.
Yeah, we'll have to throw that in there. Thank you, Jack, for giving us a non-copyrighted Wookiee growl. We really appreciate that. But we have some fun stuff to cover today because the freaking Baby Yoda show is back.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about it. I can't wait to just dive deep into it. This is going to be a fun episode because I think we're going back to our roots. It's going to be maybe some Twitter tidbits, maybe some nerdy nugs, and just... you know, for the lack of better terms, shooting the shit with my best friend.
So, to start this out, we have to go to some Twitter tidbits.
Live from the Pod Nation, we bring you
Twitter tidbits.
So, dude, I done messed up this week.
Yeah, you did.
It was so awkward. Oh my gosh. In my defense, I worked like 50 hours this week. I was barely paying attention to anything. I probably gave very bad health care.
Red 5 Live on Tuesday, and I apologize because I was not I wasn't able to stick through the whole thing. I had to get to bed. But I just like look at my phone and there's Mitch, I forget his last name, just responds with, "Why am I tagged in this?" And then another like Spidey talk goes, "Yeah, same." And I'm just like sitting there like on live, like on YouTube being like, "Oh my gosh, we look like idiots."
So to give you guys context and how I was dumb, I made a Twitter post and you know how we like to throw out there a good thank you to our new followers. Instead, I accidentally tagged a bunch of people that we followed, not ones that followed us. So they all replied with, "Who the hell are you?" And I've never felt more uncomfortable in my life.
It was a good time. We all made up. Needless to say, they didn't follow us, which is fine. But someday they will.
Well, so if you want to go on our page and see some awkwardness, check them out. Give them a follow or don't, because they're bitter about me saying hi to them. Excuse me for attacking you with my friendship. Like, gosh, people. It's okay. I could talk all the crap about them I want because guaranteed they're not listening right now.
Exactly. So that's our second section on Twitter tidbits.
It's just how I suck at posting online. Bro, we both suck at posting online.
I get self-conscious about it. I get grammar Nazi. Like, I'm a grammar Nazi, and I know I don't have great grammar, and so then I just, like, overthink it, and then I'm just not going to post.
See, I post it at, like, 5 a.m. when I get up in the morning, because it's the only time I have a chance, and then I'm like, why has nobody seen this? And I'm like, because it was posted at 5 a.m.,
Yep, there is a science to Twitter when it comes to promoting stuff, and Gary and I have not figured it out yet, and that's okay. We're just like talking Star Wars and Marvel.
Right. But anyways, is it time for some nerdy nuggets now, Justice?
Yeah, and we got some really spicy nuggets this week, because we haven't done it, you know, in a freaking month and a half.
Nuggets. Crispy nuggets. Spicy nuggets.
Nerdy nuggets.
We haven't talked about anything else in like a month and a half. We've been too busy, you know, having like quality content to get any of this crap.
Right. We've been, you know, just having interviews, doing collabs. Hope you guys have been enjoying it. It sounds like I've had some pretty cool people reach out to me saying that they enjoy it. And I got my parents to start listening, and they love the interviews. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah. And shout out to Comic Book Couples Counseling for collabing with us. I just read Usagi Yojimbo. They're doing like a new series on that. I read my first version of that comic. And at first I thought like, oh, this is like an adorable ninja bunny. Like, okay, this isn't too intense. I could be down for this. And then like murder and suicide and all kinds of crazy stuff happens. And I'm like, damn, this is not just some cute little bunny.
Yeah, I have only read like one or two comics, but it's like you think it's going to be something and it totally just subverts what all your expectations are. And it's a good read.
It's incredible.
All right. So, Gary, you want to start off with a nerdy nugget? What's yours?
Okay. So I am really a big Witcher 3 fan. So I've been like salivating over the idea of Cyberpunk 2077 coming out. So this is an upcoming game from CD Projekt Red that's supposed to be like taking the Witcher's concept of every single side quest, everything you do matters and has a deep and intense story affecting the whole world. Basically the perfect video game. And they're taking it now to like this futuristic cyberpunk era. It looks incredible. It has Keanu Reeves and they're gonna take my money. But the problem is their whole thing is that we will release this game when it's done. And I'm like, I can't handle that kind of uncertainty, you know? So they've delayed this game a bunch of times.
Wouldn't you rather have a perfect game than a game where it's not good and then the day of that it drops, they have to put out a patch?
Yes, but okay, they've delayed this a crap ton of times. Okay, so 3 times they've delayed this game. It was supposed to come out in April. In April 16th.
You have to give them some slack because of, you know, this whole thing called COVID-19, but I get what you're saying.
But still, like, you need to just do coding in front of a computer. Like, it's not like you need to wear a mask so the computer doesn't breathe on you, bro. But 3 freaking times they've delayed this game. It was supposed to be out in April. And I'm like, okay, like, I'll buy this, play this over the summer, maybe. And, like, when COVID hit, I'm like, okay, like, maybe after the next delay, like, I'll get it eventually. They delayed it from April 16th then to September 17th. And now it's postponed again to November 19th and then again to December 10th. So from April to December, they've postponed this game. And they did like a whole announcement thing of the game's gone gold, guys. Like, we basically finished it. And then they're like, never mind, we're postponing it again. And I'm like, this is going to be basically Cyberpunk's going to come out the day that COVID-19 doesn't exist, which is basically never. So we're all screwed.
As on a somber remote, because it is spooky season, we're getting an Insidious 5. How about that, Gary?
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, what else is left to cover in the Insidious series?
I don't know. It's supposed to be, like, after 3, because I think 4 is the prequel to whatever. But I think Patrick Wilson, the main actor, he's directing it. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Insidious 1 and 2. Insidious 3 is okay. Insidious 4, is that The Last Key is what it's called? Or
yeah. No, I don't know if it's 3 or 4. It's one of them, but
That's the one I haven't seen.
Okay.
But I love the Insidious movies. And it'll be cool to have like that original family or doing like the backstory on the kid or something.
Yeah. I liked 1 and 2 a lot. I like how they intertwine each other, but you're right. 3 is meh, and then 4 I haven't seen either. Let's see. Other things Marvel related. Oscar Isaac is apparently reported to play Moon Knight, which I'm hyped about. It seems like you can trash Disney and still work for them. So that's cool.
I mean, there's no way they're ever going to have John Big Boyega come back to any Disney-related project after how much he's trashing them.
I don't know, man. Money talks. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, I love Big Boy.
Oh, yeah.
He's my big boy.
Me too. But I'm excited for Oscar Isaac. Maybe he'll actually play in a Marvel role that's good. Apocalypse sucks ass. Sorry, X-Men fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't seen it. because all the reviews were so bad, I'm like, I'm just gonna, you know, let that one go.
There are serious X-Men fans out there. I this sounds really bad and I'm crapping on them, but they actually think that Apocalypse and what's the last one that came out? Not New Mutants, but the Dark Phoenix is better than Infinity War and Endgame. And I just want to be like, what are you smoking? Like, really, what are you smoking? Like, you don't... I get there are people... I get there are people who don't like Marvel movies because, like, there's too much comedy or whatever. But, like, or it's just happened too many times. But Infinity War and Endgame are really good movies. And objectively speaking, like, Dark Phoenix and what the other... Apocalypse just suck. So...
I, like, okay, it's feasible. I wouldn't say I'd agree, but it's feasible for them to say that Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix are better than the original X-Men movies, because those have a little bit of nostalgia syndrome. Like, they're not great movies, except X2, I do really love.
Yeah, I was going to say, X2 is amazing.
X2 is amazing. X1 is okay. X3 is meh. Like, I could see them arguing they're better than those, but are better than Infinity War and Endgame, like, seriously. You have to be really delusional.
All right. If you guys didn't know this, Gary and I are huge anime fans, and Sony bought Crunchyroll, which is like the Hulu or Netflix to our anime when it comes to streaming. I don't know if that was a good analogy, but basically that's where you can watch all of your stuff. And so Sony bought it.
See, I'm kind of bummed about that because I get most of the anime through Hulu. And like... Hulu and Crunchyroll were vibing together and they did fine. I feel like Sony's going to put a lockbox on all the anime content and it's like, well, I don't want to pay for another freaking subscription service.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Netflix and Hulu are able to keep these anime deals, but I do think that Sony is going to lock it down, try really affecting that market. And I mean, if it comes down to it, I will probably pay for a subscription. I did in the past, but... I haven't had to in a while, but again, like there's just too many streaming services now, and that's not another one that I'm willing to pay.
No, I don't want to do another one. On an anime note, I've found the perfect hack to make wearing a mask less of a bummer. So what I do, I got a Kakashi sweatshirt for Halloween, and I just wear the Kakashi shirt with the mask up, and I'm like, I'm basically just cosplaying right now. Like, it's not even me wearing a mask anymore, and it's wonderful.
We might have to post the Snapchat you sent me of you dressing up for Halloween, because it's really good. Gary went as Kakashi. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there, but you did an amazing job. That's all I got to say.
It was incredible. The amount of hair product to get the anime hair, like... you could have chiseled into my hairline. Like, it was nuts. But I the only anime character that wore a mask, so it was perfect.
And also, moving on to some more Marvel stuff, did you see the trailer for the new Miles Morales game?
No, but I did see they're adding in a little either DLC or a mod where Miles Morales is the Into the Spider-Verse version, and that looks incredible.
Yeah, the article is talking about. I didn't really get a good chance to dive into it, but whatever clip I saw, you get to use like his Miles Morales has special powers where if you've seen Into the Spider-Verse, then you kind of know, but he can use like electric shock and go invisible, and you can use those kind of things in the trailer. And like, it seemed like you could punch with flames at the same time. So I'm interested. I'm hyped. I love the Spider-Man game by Insomniac. So any more content that they're going to put out, I'm all for.
Okay, since we've not talked about Nerdy Nuggets, dude, how do you feel about them adjusting the Peter Parker look for the PS5 version of Spider-Man? Have you seen that?
I think doesn't it make it just look better?
No, it makes it look really weird and uncanny valley. Like, they didn't just make it look better, they like completely revamped it. It's super freaking weird.
I guess I didn't really get a good look at it. I do know that they did revamp it, and I saw like the designer for it post on something on Twitter, but I guess I'll have to go back. Is it like a Polar Express weird?
It's a little bit verging in Polar Express weird for me, dude. Like Tom Hanks, hot chocolate kind of weird.
I'm not looking forward to that, but hopefully you're in the costume more than you are face-to-face. And the actual gameplay. So,
and I hope the Miles Morales one is fantastic. But on other gaming news, and this is mostly for me as an Elder Scrolls fan, there's the big heated debate on whether the new Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be an Xbox exclusive or if it's going to be on all platforms like usual. And so Todd Howard, the lead guy for Bethesda, is like, it's hard for me to imagine it being Xbox exclusive. But I'm like, there's no way in hell Xbox, after buying off Bethesda, is going to let Sony have its grubby little hands on it.
Again, man, all I got to say is money talks. And if Sony's willing to shovel out some serious cash, I could see Microsoft being like, yeah, all right. Like they, you know, people never thought that we would do cross-platform online gaming. And, you know, now you can with like Rocket League and Call of Duty and whatnot. So maybe they'll do it with the game.
Maybe there's hope, because I really want a PS5, but I really want to play Elder Scrolls 6. So I'm in a conundrum.
So for the final two nerdy nuggets before we move on to some good Mando talk, is there was an accidental leak on EA's website that there's a development of a new Star Wars game. Did you see that, Gary?
No. What is this leak?
They're just asking for it's just like they want a producer for a new Star Wars game, and that's all it says. People are speculating that maybe it's going to be a new IP. And there's also talks about that Star Wars Force Unleashed 3 is going to be in development.
Okay. Force Unleashed 3, not a chance in hell that ever happening. Just because it's not canon anymore, and I highly doubt they're going to go for it. I love Force Unleashed 1. 2 is meh, but 1 is fantastic. Starkiller is pretty dope.
I mean,
but it's not going to happen.
I think it'd be pretty cool if they introduced Starkiller to make it canon, but you're probably right. If it's a new IP, I'm totally cool with that. I loved Jedi Fallen Order, so I have faith that they can put out another good IP game. And I hear from people that Star Wars Squadrons is good. I have not touched it, but when we're a part of the Red 5 network, they often get together and play, and it sounds like they have a really great time.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. I just know I suck balls at those kind of games, man. Like, I'm so awful at anything flying game that I can't get myself to spend the money on it.
Oh, no, for sure. And that rounds out our Nerdy Nuggets.
Nerdy Nuggets.
So, frickin' Mandalorian is back, people.
Before we get into this, it's going to be very spoilery. If you have not watched it, get a Disney Plus subscription. Watch the episode, watch the whole series again, and then watch the episode again, because it's just that good.
And then watch it a third time, if that's three times in general, and then watch it another time after that. I've seen it already, I think, three times.
I've seen it twice, and then you can also listen to our podcast twice, too. That'd be great.
Or like 10 times, you know, get up those listener numbers, really spice it up.
But, Gary, I think what we should do is just general thoughts, you know, what we took away from it, favorite parts, you know, just not like necessarily breaking down every aspect of it, but just, you know, there was a lot of Easter eggs in there, so I think it should be really fun just diving into that. So what was the first thing that stood out to you?
Well, first I'd like to talk about kind of the overall feel of the episode, because this is something that, like, we've debated in the past, because it's very much like a side quest episode, you know? Like, it's not moving the Baby Yoda story forward, but I dig whenever Mando goes off on a side quest and just, like, gunslinger, Western style, helps save a village, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you feel about that kind of format?
The Western version of the Monster of the Week, basically?
Basically, yeah. Like, I can understand how people want to have, like, a storyline moving forward, but I love these, like, small moments of quiet where he's off on his own just being awesome.
Oh yeah, no, I love this episode. I thought it was great. I thought it was a good job kickstarting this whole new season. Going in, I was very nervous, especially in the beginning, like, how are they gonna not make it just like season one all over again? Like, how are they gonna take the nostalgia of the old Star Wars, incorporate everything, but also make it something new? And I was getting really worried, like, when they went into the fighting cage and he started fighting all of them, and the guy running away and he like lassos him, and I was like, man, this is gonna be season one again. And then it like totally went off into something completely different, and man, I was just blown away, and I loved it.
Yeah, it pays homage to everything, gives you the Mando flair you want. Like that fight scene where he's going in and wrecking everyone, I'm like, it's back, the show's back. Like, it was incredible, just return of Mando. I mean, it's awesome, but I'd love to dive into the Easter eggs a little bit, because there is a lot of goodness in the episode. So one of my favorites was he's walking into that kind of dark back alley town, and you see the graffiti in the background, and you definitely, they look like a little bit of a mix of stormtroopers and clone troopers. And then you see like a little C-3PO in the background. Did you catch that one, dude?
Yeah, and then I think there's a Darth Vader too, or there's one with a black helmet. It doesn't specifically mean it's Darth Vader, but I saw those three, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Unfortunately, Evan couldn't be on this episode, but we were talking to him, and he thinks that planet is Lothal because he just loves Rebels. And maybe it is.
That would be cool. I'd enjoy that. Granted, I'd be sad to think of Lothal being, you know, like a complete scumbag area again, but it could be. Maybe that guy got like murdered by a crap ton of Lothcats.
Right. One of the things that this isn't an Easter egg, but I really liked the fighting between the Gamorreans. Like, those looked really cool. Like the blades, how it seemed like they weren't actually doing any damage. Like they had like almost like a shield, but they're like still getting hit by the impact. And I thought that was super cool. And his Vyro blade. I just, anytime Mando pulls that out, I get excited.
I'll leave no comments for that statement, but I love the Vyro blades too. It's, if you haven't like figured out what the heck is with that blade. So it's a callback to the Knights of the Old Republic game. Before you'd get a lightsaber, you'd get a Vyro blade. And it's basically a blade that does these like tiny vibrations to make it extra violent, and it seemed like the axes were kind of like vibro axes too or something. I don't know, they just had a cool look, and the Gamorreans were awesome.
Oh yeah. So going off the Easter eggs, we had an introduction into the Aftermath series by Chuck Wendig. Cod Vanth, is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Cobb Vanth. Which I did not know. I never read the Aftermath series, but he's apparently, a lot of the introduction of his character we see in Mando came from that book.
Yeah, it's very similar. I wouldn't, it's almost basically one-to-one. It's a very small piece in the books, but it's really, really cool that they were able to bring him into the show. And obviously the biggest Easter egg there is that he's wearing Boba Fett's armor, which it looks super like more dated than it already was, and I love that new design, especially like the bullet dent on the helmet. That was a super cool. Yeah. Aspect.
Yeah, the bullet dent, and like it just made me shocked, or I don't know if shocked is the right word, but like made me appreciate Din Djarin the Mandalorian's armor, because like his armor is pristine and perfect, and you see Boba's and it's just like wrecked and destroyed and just like a shell of its former self. So it was cool seeing it back. I did not know his little antenna thing was a targeting computer. And like they used, I checked on it, they used the same sound effects as Luke's targeting computer for when like Boba Fett's antenna goes down, targets those guys, and the back rocket goes at him. It's the same exact sound effect. It's so cool.
I saw a thing on Twitter. People were saying like John Favreau vibes, and they had the picture of, you know, Cobb aiming at the slave traders, I guess, and then a picture of Iron Man blowing up the tank in the first Iron Man movie. Same kind of thing, yeah. Where he just likes blowing up something from the distance. Because John Favreau, it says, like, I think he like wrote it and directed this episode, and I think he did a really good job kicking off the series.
I like that he's actually taking charge a little bit more, or like, I think it's now like he's not letting the reins go to anyone else because he knows this is a success and he wants his baby to be preserved.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like him letting, he's only like him and Filoni mess with it and really just like build this world, merging the new with the old. So I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me while watching this episode is I got massive nostalgia from watching like the very end, because in the what happens in the episode is they go and they fight a crate dragon, and the fact that we finally got to see a crate dragon one was awesome. You know, Obi-Wan in the first episode, or sorry, episode four, using the call, and then when we watched when you play Knights of the Old Republic, you yourself go on Tatooine, you get Bantha fodder, and you bring out the dragon and bombs explode. It's almost like a one-to-one of what happens in Mandalorian. And I like, as I was watching, I was like, there's no freaking way they're actually doing this. They're bringing, I'm sure, like, as I think it might happen also in the Bounty Hunter game, but literally if you go, there's a clip on YouTube, it's like a minute and a half long, and it's literally like you watch the dragon comes out to get the Bantha fodder, and then the bombs explode underneath its stomach, and then it dies. Again, really bad graphics, but it's basically some of the same exact things that happens in Mandalorian, and I got pure nostalgia vibes, and seeing it updated, seeing their twist and their spin on it, and how you would take out a legit crate dragon, and just how massive this thing is, and how powerful it is with, like, its venom or acid. It was awesome. I'm going to keep on saying these words over and over, and I apologize, but, like, I don't have a thesaurus up for different words, but it was great.
You don't have a thesaurus for all of Mando, but lots of callbacks in the Crate Dragon. Like Justice mentioned, Obi-Wan used the Crate Dragon call in episode 4 to scare away the Tusken Raiders, and you can listen to the Crate Dragon episode. It has, like, a more intense and, for lack of a better word, like, auto-tuned version of the Obi-Wan Crate Dragon call. I loved that part. I thought that was really special care. And a lot of KOTOR vibes, Knights of the Old Republic. That whole thing in Knights of the Old Republic was awesome. The other thing I loved is how the Tusken Raiders found a pearl inside of the Crate Dragon, which is the same item you picked up in KOTOR after you defeated it. I'm like, that is so cool. That's, like, so specific and part of why I love the series. And it's even a callback, too, to the Legends book, Darksaber, where they found out that, I think it was Han used a pearl from a Crate Dragon to help buy himself into a Sabacc tournament. So, like, really out there extended material that they're really taking this love and care to put in the show.
And I was also reading some stuff saying that, like, you can use the pearl to make sabers out of it, which I think that's pretty interesting. Another thing, a Easter egg that I thought was really cool, talking about how they're tying in, you know, the old with the new. They brought in prequels with Cobb's speeder, and it's definitely, it looks like Anakin's, like, pod racer, like the one part that fell off, and he's just, like, riding next to Mando as they're going to find the crate dragon. Love that. I, like, immediately jumped in my seat when I saw that.
I'm like, that looks a ton like Anakin's. I don't care what anyone says. In my head canon, that's Anakin's pod racer.
And I don't know about you, but, like, this, I mean, this isn't anything. Like, this is just me, like, as I was watching it, it almost seems like they're trying to race each other, and Mando knows that his thing is, like, way outdated. I mean, so is his, the other guys, but, like, it's just, like, they're looking at each other, and it's like, are they trying to race? Or are they just, like, vibing? I don't know. Like, I thought that was a funny moment.
I don't know. I took it as, like, an overcompensation thing. Like, he's, like, the guy with, like, the big, like, dually truck next to, like, Mando and his Toyota Camry. Just like, yeah, check out my pod racer.
One of the...
Another obscure Easter egg, though, that I adore is that they're adding more to the mythology of R5. So they brought him there, R5 being the droid from A New Hope that had a bad motivator that saved the galaxy, who has expanded stories in certain point of view where he's, like, practically force sensitive and killed himself for the sake of R2-D2. And now he is at Tatooine, and you can see how nerded out Dave Filoni is, because Dave Filoni asked that he have, like, the motivated area have a little, like, blast thing around it, so you could tell it was definitely R5 just stuck on Tatooine, and I loved that.
Speaking of that scene, I thought it was really interesting that when she grabs Baby Yoda, she says, "Thank the Force," and I feel like that's the first time they've actually, like, maybe, I mean, I'm sure there's in other areas where they've addressed that word, or like mentioned that. It's always been like the Jedi use these weird powers, or you know, like,
or the magic hand thing from the baby.
Right. There's never been like the religion spoken. And so it was just very interesting that she, you know, after everything that's happened with the Empire and everything that's happened on Tatooine, she still believes in the Force.
Yeah. And I love, we're bouncing around a ton, folks, but so they gave us a glimpse of what happened right after the Death Star was destroyed, which is, I think, an incredible thing to add in there, and how it was the immediate, like, oh my gosh, incredible, we're free, followed by a power vacuum that just led to chaos. And I thought that was a cool depiction of how they did that with the mining town.
Yeah, like I keep on saying, it seems like they brought in, they really melded the whole Star Wars universe and that one episode, just really placing like what happened, where they're at, and like what's going on in that mining community by talking about the whole like Empire, and then like this the guild coming in and taking out those people. Okay, so one of my favorite things from the episode is the fact that they humanize the Tusken Raiders. The way that the costume designs are phenomenal. Like, whoever did that, they deserve awards, because it is amazing the way they look, and the Banthas, they look awesome. But I just love how Mando communicates with them, and you get this whole like I guess species divide in the episode where the humans versus the Tusken Raiders, and they have to work together, and that's very interesting, because we've always seen them as bad people in, you know, episode 4, and Anakin kills them, and it was a really cool episode seeing how like these are just native people to the land, and they're just people too trying to survive. And I was reading online that they brought in an actual person to help with that deaf, or to help with like the sign language, and create this new sign language for the Tusken Raiders that they taught to the group, which I think is really cool. They really just humanized them, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that was cool, and they did it in a way that, like, it wasn't a cheesy, oh, we solved all their problems. Like, no, the Tusken Raiders and the townspeople didn't really get along well. They just managed to kind of work things out slightly. But it was cool seeing a humanized view, like you said. I thought it was really cool when all those, like, I'm blanking on the name of the creatures, but all those creatures came out to see the Marshal and Mando, and they're like ready to shoot him down, and Mando's just going up to him and like scratching his tummy like he's a dog. I thought that was adorable.
Yeah, or even like when they offer him the drink and it looks like a really messed up pumpkin, and then like they open it up, and I just like, I wouldn't drink from it either. But I mean, I guess like if I was presented that and I was in their company, I would do it out of respect. But again, I feel that guy where he's like, I'm not drinking this. They like attacked by people. Like, why would I? I don't know. Like, it looked gross. Like, you get the nasty little poof of smoke come out of it. Like, hell no.
Nah, yeah, that was pretty disgusting. But hey, sand people be what sand people be. I'd have to say though, my favorite part was when like Mando just took over the show. So they failed on their first attempt to kill the crate dragon, and Mando's like, I'm just going to go for it. And a little part of me, even though I know it's very unlikely, thought they better not kill Mando. I don't know. For some reason, I'm like, I've heard enough contract disputes over the actor and the position that I'm like, if they kill Mando, I will be pissed.
No, I never thought that. I thought it was really cool how they, you know, hit the Marshal's jetpack and he flies away and Mando goes in his stomach. And again, I'm sitting there thinking, is the armor really that strong where like he's going to get like, it's going to deflect the acid? Because when I was very surprised that they legitimately showed scenes where acid just like falls in these Tusken Raiders and they just like basically disintegrate. And I was like, oh, that's brutal. Like that was some,
oh yeah, that was so brutal.
And
but like there's expanded material too about Boba Fett going in the Sarlacc pit, and like the Beskar armor basically protects him from the digestion. So like I can see how there's like a Star Wars rationale for the fact that like he didn't just disintegrate right away, you know?
Yeah, and again, Mando being Mando, kind of like in the episode 6 where that jailbreak, where he destroys all the droids, he again takes out the crate dragon, and he does it in a really awesome fashion. One of the things that I did kind of wish was we got to see the whole dragon itself. Like, I don't, is it just a slug or is it like it have like feet and wings and whatnot?
I feel like we barely saw a fraction of its like true size. Like, and even then it was gigantic. I kind of like that though. I like the air of mystery to it of like it's some unspeakably huge being.
And I woke up very, very, very early to watch it, like 5 a.m. before work.
Dude, you watched it like right away.
I did. I set my alarm. I know it came out, I think, 3 at my time, but I watched it at 5. And one of my favorite things that I saw online was like those posts where it's like spoilers, but no spoilers, where it's just like random pictures. And you know that episode from SpongeBob where they go to the big, huge like snail thing and Sandy like ties the tongue into a knot? And then, like, above him is, like, the huge, like...
Yeah.
It was, like,
yeah.
The post was, like, spoils for Mando, but not at all. And I, like, I died. I laughed so hard.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't watch it until Saturday after. So I had to, like, avoid everything until I was able to see it, you know?
Yeah. But, again, we kind of have to talk about the end. Like, that would be a disservice to not talk about that.
Okay, so obviously, it's Tamora Morrison, basically the actor who played Jango Fett in the prequels, is reprising the role of Boba Fett, and Boba Fett is apparently alive. So, Justice, to start out, one, how do you think Boba Fett survived, and then where the heck do you think they're going to take him with the show?
I think he crawled his way out somehow. Maybe he killed it. Maybe the crate dragon ended up doing something to it and he was able to escape that way. But I have a thought that like he gets out, the armor is too hot because he has no water, and somehow maybe the Jawas find him and take him to a place and he just is kind of like on Tatooine doing his thing. I think where the story goes is because he's got weapons and guns, like they in the panel, or that's not the panel, the shot, they show his back and he's got the weapons and he turns around and walks away as, you know, on top of a dune stand and as Mando's driving by. So I think either they're gonna have him hunt Baby Yoda, or somehow he's gonna contact him to help Baby Yoda find his people.
I think they're going to start with him hunting Baby Yoda and have him a bad guy at first, but there's no way they can maintain that because he's too popular not to be a good guy. You know, like everyone wants him to be a good guy.
Is that true or are you just saying that?
Well, I think, okay, I feel like for every bad character, like, okay, for example, with Marvel, Loki's a bad guy, but he became kind of a good guy because everyone liked him too much that he had to become a good guy. Venom in the comics started as a bad guy, but everyone thought he was so cool he had to become a good guy. That's always the case with every bad guy. When they become more popular than the heroes, they have to become good guys.
No, I think that he'll become like an anti-hero-esque person. I still think he's doing the bounty stuff. I just don't think he's doing it in the armor because how much of a, I don't know, like the what is the word for it, like the name and like the thoughts that come to mind when people see Mandalorian. Maybe he just like wants to be stripped of that and be his own person.
Well, okay, my theory is that he barely survived the Sarlacc pit, crawled his way out, and Jawas stole the armor off of him. And I'm wondering if, because you see Boba Fett in other material, and he's not wearing the helmet, I'm wondering if he even is a part of the whole idea of their way of Mandalore. This is the way with the can't take the mask off. Because in Clone Wars, you see him without the mask all the time.
And so I'm
thinking that developed later on.
Yeah, I'm wondering after the Siege of Mandalore, if that's something that developed, was the, like, you don't take off the mask if you are part of the guild. But... you know, who knows? Because you are right. In Clone Wars, they always have the helmet off, and they really haven't really explained that, so maybe they'll kind of go in that further.
Because I feel like Boba Fett is either not going to put on the armor because he's like, somebody saw me without my mask, I can't put it on anymore. Or he's just going to put it on and be like, that whole thing is just because of the Mandalorian's failure with the Empire. That's when they put in that creed. It doesn't apply to me.
Who knows? Or maybe he's not searching for Baby Yoda. He's just wants Mando's armor.
Maybe. That's a cool idea, too. Either way, I don't know how he's going to fit in the show, but there is no way they're going to do a Mandalorian-themed show without Boba Fett. Like, we knew from the beginning he'd have to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm actually really excited that they didn't introduce Bo-Katan or Ahsoka yet. I think it's great that they just left it as keeping it with Boba Fett. That's enough a tease to for the people wanting to come back and just like letting the series continue.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, okay, I have to check and see, but so Dave Filoni is going to be directing, I believe, the third episode of this season. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, in Twitterverse. My guess is the first one that Dave Filoni directs is when we're going to get Ahsoka. Because there's no way anybody else could touch that character. That's automatically, it's Dave's character. There's no way it could go to anybody else.
Unless it's a female director. I can only see that. That's the only thing that I can see where it's like a female director directing her. But I do agree, like, since it's Dave's baby, he will most likely probably be the person to introduce her.
Yeah, and I'm glad they didn't do it right away. If they did, like everyone said, it would be the Ahsoka show, not the Mandalorian. So they need to have it start out with just a normal Mando kind of adventure and then go on from there, which I think they did a fantastic job with that. But to end it off here, dude, what do you think is next up? What should we expect for the rest of the season?
We should definitely expect him to keep continuing his quest, obviously, to find the species. I think that the next episode, we're still on Tatooine. We stay on there maybe for a couple more times because Boba Fett will interact. I think maybe that next episode we get will be them face-to-face, and maybe we'll get more backstory on Boba Fett.
And my prediction is that the Yoda's people that they find is going to be Ahsoka. Is that he's going to find Ahsoka as the only other Force user that he runs into, and that's going to be the closest thing to Yoda's people that he finds.
Do you think that the length of the episodes will all be long like the first episode, or do you think they just gave us an hour-long episode just because it's the first one?
I mean, I'd love if they were all this long, but I think only because it's the first one, and they had to, like, reintroduce the characters again, give us a little bit more. I feel like it's a one episode thing, you know?
Yeah. Also, one thing, I got a little criticism. I know this kind of sounds bad, but the lady who picked up Baby Yoda and said, bless the Force, I didn't really like her lines. I felt weird and corny, but that's all I got to say. That's like my one criticism for the episode. Other than that, I absolutely loved it.
I mean, it fit. It's like, I saw it as she was speaking for the audience for every time we see Baby Yoda, we're like, I want that. And that's kind of like her thing. Was it corny? Absolutely. But it's speaking for the audience.
No, I agree. But I was like, second time I watched it, I was like, cringe. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to, like, that's not the reason to, like, it's not the main point of the episode, and it's really not that big of a deal. I'm just being a weirdo.
Yeah. But to end it here, Justice, do you have a comic of the week for the people?
Comic of the week.
I do. I am going to go grab it. But Star Wars released a pretty cool comic a couple weeks ago where it's Star Wars number 6. And if you're looking for a really awesome story, you guys need to start reading this Darth Vader comic coming out by Greg Pak. Let's see. Artist is Raffaele. I probably butchered that. Isseno. Colorist. His last name is Manon. Letterer is VC Jones. And I'm just trying to say, I can only say the names of the people because their last names are hard. So I'm just apologizing to that. But guys, if you like Darth Vader, if you like Emperor Palpatine, if you like Force Choking and Force Lightning, then this is your episode. Sorry, this is your comic that you need to read. I am going to do a deep dive into this because it's great and it's amazing. So basically what happens is, what's been going on is that Darth Vader is really just doing this huge long search to figure out what happened to Padme once she died, and that's when she comes in contact with Sabé, and you know what's going on with that whole arc and how he like goes to her burial site, and he doesn't end up killing Sabé and her group, and he goes back with like more knowledge of what happened to Palpatine, and Palpatine is pissed. I mean, absolutely pissed, guys. And so mad that he lightnings the crap out of him and then takes his lightsaber away from him and then has his red guards start beating the ever-living crap out of him with his with their staffs. And this is one of those times where I've always wanted to see Vader fight them, and he totally does. He like takes one of them, takes one of the staffs, and just like starts whamming on one of them. And who's the cabinet member that's blue, that's in like episode 3, and he's like really close to Palpatine? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, with the little tendrily dude.
Yeah, I apologize, Star Wars fans. You can get mad at me. You're probably screaming his name, but he pulls a gun on Vader, and Vader starts to like force choke him. And then Palpatine's like, no, and just like lightnings the crap out of him and is like blasting him with lightning to the point where like his chest piece and his like mask are all like busting up from the lightning. And he kind of looks like almost
Mas Ameda, according to the Google.
Good. Thank you. And his face mask kind of looks like, you know, like you could see his eyes, and Palpatine then starts force choking him. And you get this like cool like little flashbacks of Vader force choking people, and Palpatine basically essentially is like, yeah, how do you like it? And then he like crumples his arm, like he like breaks it like Saw 3 style when they're doing the crucifixion thing, and then he crumples his legs with the force. So Vader is just basically like basically a meat sack like he was on episode 3. And then Palpatine takes him back to Mustafar, drops him right where Obi-Wan cut him down, and Darth Vader's like, no, and tries using the force to like get the lightsaber, and Sidious like grabs it, stops it, and he goes, this is a test. If you can survive and get back, then you're still my apprentice. And he goes, also, if you use the force, this test will end. And Vader is like having these visions of like, again, being cut down, being in the lowest of the lowest spot on the Mustafar, and him, then the character that you just named again, I forgot, I'm sorry.
Mas Ameda.
Mas Ameda and Sidious get off on this plane or their ship. And Mas Ameda is like, oh my gosh, like Vader's still alive. And Sidious is like, yeah, I know, but don't worry. And they introduce this new, he kind of looks like a Mandalorian almost, but he's an assassin of the Sith, Ochi of Bestoon. And this is what he looks like, Gary. I'm showing him.
Okay, that's pretty dope.
Yep. And he's a Sith assassin, and he's on Mustafar. And basically, it's going to be Vader facing off against this guy, hopefully in the next issue. And all Vader has is maybe an arm and a lightsaber, and he can't use the Force.
Interesting. The Ochi of Bestoon dude gives me, like, oddly enough, like Batman and Red Hood kind of vibes. Like, he has a cool look. I just don't know why or how Vader is going to get through it without working limbs and without use of the Force.
I don't know
either. It's kind of like, that's the ultimate, like, D-bag move of Palpatine being like, yeah, you can't use the Force either.
It's him being like, you're my apprentice and you are still dealing with stuff in the past. I thought we moved on from this. And guys, I mean, seriously, if you're into that kind of stuff, not in a weird sexual way, but if you like choking and force lightning, you're going to love...
Maybe a little bit in that way.
You're going to love this comic. Again, the colors are amazing. It's drawn like perfectly, but it's basically Palpatine just kind of showing Vader like who's the boss, and him destroying Vader and putting him at his lowest again. And there's like this really cool panel where Vader's looking off as Palpatine's walking away, and then like next to it is Obi-Wan looking away as Vader is like screaming, "I hate you," like kind of like in Episode 3. So you got, again, you got those like the same vibes that we kind of talked about in other Darth Vader runs, but they're doing it again. They're on Mustafar, and I am hyped for the continuation of the story.
Okay, so Ochia Bastoon is the guy's name, right?
Yes.
Looking on here, I got reminded by, thank you to the Google for reminding me, but that's the same name of the blade used in Rise of Skywalker for them to see the Death Star wreck. The blade of Ochia of Bastoon. So adding some layers of nuggets right in there, of we might be able to find out more of the origin of that blade and why the crap it like correlates right with that wreck.
Yeah, maybe, because weren't they finding like an assassin in Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, it was like an assassin's blade that had been used for the dark for ages. So we can get a little bit more of an origin story for the blade and know why the heck it makes sense. I don't know. I'm just psyched to see more of it, like see why it fits into the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, me too. Again, guys, if you get a chance, go to your local comic book store, pick one of these comics up. I think they should all be there, 1 through 6, and just, you know, devour them because it's good Star Wars content. And then while you're there, get Charles Soule's main Star Wars run because it's also really good. And it's diving really deep into Luke and how he is searching for his lightsaber right after Episode 5. So that is my comic goodness of the week.
So we have some exciting things coming up for Pod Wars. We're going to be doing a Lord of the Rings series, starting out with a podcast with the Prancing Pony podcast. Thank you guys for joining us there. It's going to be coming out soon. We also have some new interviews set up on the way. We have some, we might have to wait on the teasing for them to come out officially, but we got some dopeness coming up for you guys. And like usual, you can get in touch with us at Pod Wars Podcast or email us at askpodwarspodcast@gmail.com. And on that note, everyone, have a great week.
If you like Episode 2 and Episode 3, you're going to be really hyped about one of those episodes. Okay, bye.